Good morning and a very warm welcome to this service of worship coming to you from St Andrew's and St George's West Parish Church in the heart of Edinburgh city centre. We welcome you whether you are here in the sanctuary, we welcome those who are watching or listening from home. Also welcome to those who may be watching or listening from another country. And to those whenever they may see or hear this service of worship, may it be a blessing. Hear words from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. It is good to be together, on screens and people together, listening for your voice, O God, and united by your Spirit. In this time of worship, tell us about your kingdom of kindness so that we can seek it. Show us your justice. We want to walk with you humbly, closely, daily, through your Spirit of truth and grace.
Spirit of truth and grace, come to us here in this place, as now in Jesus' name God's people gather. Open our eyes to
histories, Lord, redeem us from our past. In our willing acts of conflict, Lord, lead us to seek peace. In our divisions and extremism, Lord, unite us with your love. In our confusion, indecision, Lord, steady us with your power. In our muddled intentions, Lord, enlighten us with your truth. Amen.
Hands. Our hands can be used in so many different ways. They can be used for hurting. They can be used for healing. I want to move our hands a little this morning going to invite you to look at your hands. Actually, look at them. See the touch and the tenderness. Explore how the lines tell the story of your life. Hold them open to receive the richness of the living world with which we come into contact every day. Fold them together in gratitude for those whose lives touch ours and whose love holds us. Cup them open-handed to receive the blessing of God's compassion and extend it to others. As we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. As we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Psalm 123, the psalm for today, is not one that we hear very often. Perhaps that's because it's very short. The two parts don't seem to hang together logically. And the imagery about slaves and slave owners doesn't fit with our experience. Here's how it begins.
I lift up my eyes to you, to you who sit enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us mercy.
The church book group has been studying a new book by John Bell called Living with the Psalms. He offers this explanation of Psalm 123. About 100 years ago, his grandmother, Myrne Bell, was occasionally engaged to wait tables when local gentry were hosting dinner parties in their big houses. The mistress of the house directed the staff through a system of hand signals, so that the evening proceeded without words having to be spoken. The servants just had to watch the eyes of the mistress. John Bell suggests that this practice of waiting on tables be taken as a model for how the faithful should look to God for guidance and affirmation. His illustration is an agreeable one that conjures up a picture of harmonious efficiency, a bit like Downton Abbey. But of course, Myrne Bell wasn't a slave. She was there because she wanted to be, probably earning a little extra money to stretch the household budget. The second half of the psalm takes an abrupt turn in a new direction.
Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us. For we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud.
do we make of lines like these? I must admit that I tend to skim over passages like this that don't relate to my experience. I can't say that I've ever been the object of someone's contempt. I don't remember ever having to endure scorn and ridicule from those in positions of privilege. But this would be a common experience for slaves. On this point, John Bell has challenged me. He reminds us that the Psalms are not written primarily as a book of personal devotion. They are a collection of poems and songs written to express the collective experience, emotions, and aspirations of God's people. Used through the centuries in public worship and at times of mourning and of celebration. Yes, the Psalms are a favorite guide to private devotion, giving me words to worship, to marvel at God's creation, to seek guidance, and to express a wide range of emotions. But they can also give me insight into the experience of others, reminding me that my faith journey is not just about me and God, but about me before God in relation to others. Reflecting on the Psalms, insists John Bell, can help us develop empathy and perhaps stir us up to act on behalf of others.
Thank you.
Over the last few months, the Black Lives Matter movement has challenged us to look at the heritage of slavery in this country. We have been reminded that Scots not only participated in the slave trade, but that much of the wealth that built the fine buildings in Glasgow and Edinburgh and the grand houses around the country were generated through the labor of slaves on plantations in the Americas. There have been debates about whether we should pull down statues like that of our neighbor, Lord Melville. It's certainly good to know our history and to recognize the horrific evil done for so long to so many. But slavery is not just a thing of the past. The United Nations Labour Organization estimates that today there are about 21 million people around the world, trapped in some form of modern-day slavery. 21 million. That's four times the number of people living in Scotland. Estimates of people working as slaves in the UK range from about 13,000 to well over 100,000. It's really hard to estimate because this is such a hidden problem. About a quarter of those involved are probably UK nationals. The rest have either been brought forcibly to this country or have been lured here with false promises of a good job and a bright future. They can be found working in car washes, nail bars, sweatshops, hotels, care homes, in agriculture or domestic servitude or in prostitution. They are kept as prisoners in wretched conditions, paid little or nothing for long hours of work, poorly fed, often beaten or sexually assaulted, afraid or unable to reach out for help. Their dreams have died. Their self-worth is shattered. Ruth is going to tell us one such story.
This is Tanya's story. My name is Tanya. I come from Latvia. Before Latvia became separate from the Soviet Union, I worked as a factory supervisor. But after the Soviet Union was broken, the factory was sold. My old boss gave me advice. I sell my flat, he takes all the money. He said I can get a good job in England, and I believed him. When I came to England, they took my passport, said I must pay them £10,000 back, and I start working every day. They pay just 30 pence a day. They treat us like we are animals. We wake up 6 o'clock, they bring us back 11. We worked in a field or in greenhouses, but mostly in the field. They always punish us when we speak with each other. I remember I can't pick the lettuce fast. Sometimes I broke some lettuce, and every broken lettuce costs me £50. So I owe £10,000 and another £50 every day. I don't have any winter clothes, just summer clothes, because I came in summertime. It was so cold, and I got only sandals, and it was raining, muddy. We were a lot of people. People sleep in the bedroom or in the corridor. When the bosses get drunk, they have fun and they abuse the people. When I can feel that they come back drunk, I always sleep out of the house, in the bushes, where they can't find me. And they choose some people, and just for fun, they say, you can drink water from the puddle, and if you don't want to drink, they break all your body. They take me in a field and explain my situation, that I am nobody, and that because I broke the visa rule, I must go to prison for 15 years. I started to be scared, and I am thinking, nobody wants me. I am not human. I am nobody. I go past City Advice Bureau and I go inside. I can't speak. I was crying. And Lady asked me, what's wrong? And I can't say nothing, just writing. Please help me. I am not legal. They took me to a house for women. Everything is very strange. I can't understand why they bring me to this house. When are they going to take me to prison? Then Clara, she explained, I listen, and I ask again, when I go to prison? It was a hard job to put inside my head, this thing that you're not going to go to prison. It's the first time that I trust someone and feel safe at home. I have my first garden in this house, and people give money so I can buy some seeds. We're growing tomatoes and cucumbers. It's very fresh and tasty. And I plant some roses.
Tanya's story has a happy ending because she was able to escape. She found a sympathetic social worker who put her in touch with an organization that was able to provide protection and help her recover from her awful experience. Jesus proclaimed that God desires freedom for the captives and relief for the oppressed. We can turn the second half of Psalm 123 into a prayer for the 21 million people around the world who are trapped in slavery. Have mercy on them, Lord. Have mercy on them. They have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant and of contempt from the proud. But God may nudge us into doing more than pray. We believe that God calls us to do his work in the world. But there are so many needs, even in our own community. We cannot respond to them all. Here is where the first part of our psalm is relevant. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hands of her mistress for guidance and instruction, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. If, like Mernbell, we keep our eyes on God, we are assured that God will show us what tasks are ours to do. Amen.
Jesus is Lord, he has shown the
Tanya is not nobody. She is somebody. She's a child of God. Hers one story of 21 million children of God who are hurting. We bring our prayers for them and others to God. Let us pray. The response to Lord, in your mercy, is hear our prayer. Lord, you ask us to walk with you, love kindness and do justice. We think today about how we can serve you in seeking justice for others. Our words cannot express or our minds fully comprehend when we hear of men, women, and children deceived and transported to unknown places, forced into labor for the gain of those who claim ownership. We cry out against the degrading and dehumanizing practice of slavery and pray for it to end. Give us eyes to see that it happens right under our noses in the city of Edinburgh. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for women and children around the world who right now are suffering at the hands of those who should love and protect them. For those who fear the clenched fist that brings daily violence. We pray for those whose bodies are being bought and sold for sex, who have stories that go unheard, and those who are walking the long journey of healing. For you are a God who seeks to make whole that which has been broken. We bring to you now in silence prayers of healing from our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are caught up in systems that take too long and seem unfair. We pray for the justice in our world to work for those who have been abused and for those who need protecting. May those in positions of responsibility do all they can to protect victims rather than abusers. We pray that abusers and perpetrators would be held accountable for their actions. Hold us accountable too. Enable us to show the same grace that you have lavished on us to those who have abused their power and caused others harm. Increase our faith that you can soften even the hardest of hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we can feel helpless in the face of so much suffering. Help us to keep our eyes trained on you. With open hands, we offer back to you what is ours to do. Take it into your hands so that we can be used to bring even a flicker of justice that might not otherwise exist. As the body of Christ, help us to be your hands and feet in the world. We pray as we serve. In Jesus' name. Amen. So often confuses service with servitude. What does it mean for each one of us to go into the world with servant hands and to make the difference that only we can make? To help us do just that, our words of blessing and sending come in the form of the Franciscan blessing. May God bless you with a restless discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may seek truth boldly and live deep within your heart. May God bless you with holy anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may tirelessly work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with the gift of tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, or the loss of all they cherish, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and transform their pain to joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done.
Thank you.